Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of Tech Plus Plus. I'm Ali here with the boys in tech, Aaron and Andres.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Glad to be here. It's another beautiful, smoky day in Northern California.
Hey, how's it going?
Boys, I'm personally super excited about this episode. We got a war between Apple, who will one day sponsor us, I promise, and Epic Games, which many of you know for their very small game that not many people know about. Fortnite, I guess it's called. Never heard of it. But we also got information about Boston Dynamics, which Aaron will talk about, which probably one day will take over our lives with their robots, and yep. Vocaloid AI, which Andres will talk about. And I'm not going to spoil much about the Vocaloid AI, but it's probably the future of mumble rapping.
Might be.
With that being said, let's jump right into it. But first, I'd like to take a minute to say thank you to Audible for sponsoring this podcast. Audible is the leading provider of spoken word entertainment and audiobooks. Some books I personally recommend to you are in the Plex, which is about how Google shapes our world and lives, and The Circle, which probably you've heard me talk about in the previous episodes. Honestly, a really, really good book. It is non-fictional, but honestly, it could be, or it is fictional, but it could honestly be non-fictional. I do own both of these books, but since I don't have much time reading, I use Audible to listen to these audiobooks while I work on my projects. Now you can visit audibletrial.com/techplusplus. That's tech PLUS. Again, audibletrial.com/techplusplus, and you will get a 30-day free trial. One audiobook credit or two if you have Amazon Prime. Give the books a listen and let me know what you think of them, especially The Circle. I'm looking forward to having conversations with you guys about those. With that, let's get into our first segment. Andres?
Vocaloid is pretty much a computer that sings songs. And these songs could be programmed inside the software to sing, or you can use Vocaloid voice banks as well. So anyone can make these songs and also make them into different languages. Each Vocaloid can be programmed to have a specific voice, and each Vocaloid has a mascot. Hatsune Miku being the most popular, or one of the most. And these mascots have their own concerts. Since these are just softwares and not actual people, they appear so. Holograms, and they pretty much act as a vessel for their voice. So what has happened recently, you might ask? So on September 29, 2019, there was a broadcast in Japan where succeeded in reproducing the singing of Hibari Misora. She's pretty much a legendary Japanese vocalist. And they use her vocals using its own Vocaloid, using the Vocaloid AI. They did this. They created this event as a to commemorate the 30th anniversary of her death. And the interesting part is that this is the very first time they did a real-world implementation of Vocaloid AI, since they have been only creating anime-based Vocaloids.
So real-world live.
But what makes this... Dang. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but what makes this event interesting is that, one, during the broadcast, they used the 4K 3D video to reproduce her body, and two, the song she sang that day was never created by her. So they used the AI, fed it that, they gave it that data of all her songs that she made, and it pretty much recreated a new song from scratch using her voice. So during the live performance, she pretty much had the same characteristics and even the same speech from the data that was given. Yes, so Hibari Misora, she died in 1989. So Yamaha literally recreated her voice that has been gone for almost 30 years.
And gave her a new song too.
And
that's crazy.
Yeah. And I think it's top of the list. I went on her Spotify and it's
She has a Spotify.
Yeah, she's on Spotify. Might actually
link that down.
Send that link too so you guys could hear.
See, you know, yeah. Go ahead, Aaron.
This reminds me of like a couple of YouTube videos I've watched in the past that where they bring back, so this doesn't necessarily relate to vocal AI, but they brought back singers who have died in the past and had them have concerts, mm-hmm. but they have a hologram of them on the stage and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly that. So I wonder if this can be used in conjunction with something like that to maybe give somewhat of a realistic performance, because I know I was watching some of the reviews afterwards and some people were saying like, that was awesome. You know, that brought me back to when I saw them on stage as a teenager or whatever it was. And some people were like, well, that was kind of weird, you know, that, you know, they were up there, but it was a hologram and you can't get that thought of they're dead, like out of your mind. So it would be weird or interesting to see if they could use both the hologram in conjunction with Vocaloid AI to bring back, you know, for me, I guess something like AC/DC, that would be super cool.
Yeah, honestly, like to me, it's still, I'm on the weird side of the thing, right? Like, for example, the more like recent rappers, for example, for me that have died, right?
Like and Juice.
Like Juice WRLD, and there's still like songs coming out, right, by him. And I was actually in a car with Andres, and I told him I have to like skip those songs because to me, it's, even though like it's Juice WRLD and I like him and stuff like that, like I can't listen to those and not think about like, he's dead, you know what I mean?
Yeah, the post-mortem releases.
Right. And now it's kind of like, this is even worse. Like, this woman didn't even create that song. You know what I mean? Like, it's not even her song. Like, at least Juice WRLD, like, created those songs before he passed. But now this woman didn't even create these songs. Like, I feel like it's kind of weird to me. Like, who is the money going to? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like, for example, like, for rappers, they would probably go to their production, right? Because they had a deal, you know. Mm-hmm. But for someone who didn't even create the song themselves and it's just a recording and an AI, a robot basically, who created their song with their voice and now it's making so much money, who takes that money? And it's just, I don't know, I feel like it's kind of disturbing to me, to be honest.
Well, yeah, that definitely. But I mean, to give maybe another use for the product is, what if you're an aspiring lyricist and you want to explore different genres or something like that, right? You could definitely go along, you know, and write lyrics for rap songs, or maybe you want to go off into R&B or something along those lines, and you just want to experiment. Maybe not put your full energy towards it, but you just want to see what something would sound like if you could produce a few lyrics and just spin this up and see what it sounds like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm pretty sure you could be able to use that pretty much product to test it out and see like, will this kind of genre fit, you know, my style or whatever, or this new style that I'm trying to create.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but like, it's interesting because in the video, like, they're pretty much old people, watching her performance, and I'm assuming they were like, big fans of her. So, but they're like crying and stuff, like just being able to hear this, you know, 30 years later. I mean, maybe it's, to some people it's kind of creepy, like, oh, you know, hearing this voice from a person that has been dead for 30 years. And then, but I don't know, maybe just the hardcore fans, you know, maybe they kind of like seeing this.
You definitely hit the nostalgia factor.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially since it's been, you know, so many years. But yeah, she's pretty famous because she recorded around 1,500 songs throughout her career, which is definitely enough data for AI to recreate something this crazy. And it's like, because you know how I went back to Spotify, like I heard that new song, and then I kind of went back into like what like her old songs, and it was like pretty much the
Yeah, you
same.
could see
Like,
where it fits.
yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. So, going back to this, Hatsune Miku, because she's kind of considered an iconic Vocaloid. What Miku is, she's pretty much a Japanese Vocaloid who is represented as a hologram of a 16-year-old.
Oh.
Hatsune Miku sings mostly electronic music, but what makes this Vocaloid software Voice Bank special is that this girl has sold out venues across the United States.
Sold out. Wow.
She has recently went on her second European tour, and this happened January 2020.
A
So
Vocaloid
she performed.
making
She
a tour.
was, yep.
That's
She
crazy.
it's her, and then I think four people, four other people, and they're actual humans. They, you know, they're kind of like the band, the
Yeah, the
drummer, the
support.
guitarist,
Yeah.
et cetera, et cetera. So she performed shows in London, Paris, Berlin, Amsterdam, and Barcelona. And keep this in mind that these places, they could fill up to around 4,000 people, which most of these places that she performed got sold out. Which is why this pop star is considered the face of Yamaha's Vocaloid software.
Yeah,
So,
pretty cool.
why are these, I guess, Vocaloids so popular, you might ask? First of all, Hatsune Miku, it's a software for making music. So, anyone can buy her Voice Bank software, type in some lyrics, add in some melodies, and the software will do its thing and sing. And since her copyright rules are a little bit more lenient, people were able to use her music and image without the fear of lawsuits.
Which is huge.
So this create, yeah. So this is kind of the reason why it created a fan base of people who just enjoy making music and uploading it to any type of music sharing site. And it also created a fan base of creativity, which is crazy. And those concerts are pretty special because her set list of songs are pulled from more than 100,000 songs that has been made in Miku's name. So literally anyone could create a song using her voice bank. And if it gets really popular, like let's just say on YouTube or any other site, the people hosting these concerts will just, you know, hit you up and see if they could use your song and in the concert, which makes it interesting because you might not know which song she will sing until like the set list is sent to the public or something.
Yeah, so I guess catch the Tech Plus Plus SoundCloud. I'll be uploading new music every week until we get a hit, so.
Alrighty, we're hitting about like 25 minutes in. So let's switch gears. I'm gonna be talking about Apple versus Epic Games. So
Crazy.
August 13th, let's before this starts, let's play some action songs. I don't know. This fight is gonna get crazy. But August 13th, Fortnite just disappeared from Apple's App Store. Just gone. Like if you looked it up, even right now actually, if you look it up,
It's not there.
Fortnite's not there anymore. This happened after a recent update released by Epic Games, which allowed users to buy the in-game currency, which is called V-Bucks, straight from Epic Games versus having to buy it from Apple Store. And a super interesting low blow was that buying it from Epic would have been $7.99 versus buying it from Apple was $9.99. Keep in mind, it is $9.99 all across the board in Xbox, Sony's, PlayStation, any of the Android phones, any other platforms, it is $9.99. They were selling it at $7.99 if you bought it through Epic specifically on Apple.
So instead
of buying it from App Store, buying it from the Epic Store on Apple products, it would have been $7.99.
That's hilarious.
So a quick backtrack on that. Apple has this policy set in store that developers need to pay a 30% fee to Apple for making any money from their app, whether being in-app purchases or selling the app itself. And they enforce that by making everyone go through the App Store to pay for anything. Going back to the main story with Fortnite, the discount from Epic was a nod to this so-called Apple tax, right? $7.99, $9.99, about 20%, right?
Yep.
Apple quickly and without any hesitation delisted Fortnite from their stores, from their app store.
Yikes.
I'm going to go ahead and straight up say this. This was all planned by Epic Games. There was no,
had to have been.
There was no accident. There was nothing. Yeah. There was not a coincidence. Because I have a couple of reasons, four to be exact. One, this happened a week or two after the antitrust hearing Apple went through. And you guys can listen to our last episode for what happened during the antitrust. And two, this also happened a week or two before Fortnite's new update. It's probably one of the bigger ones because it's straight up Marvel themed, like all the superheroes, which Apple users cannot get, which created an uproar of users mad at Apple. Three, ooh. Epic had ready up a 65-page lawsuit against Apple, 65 pages that they released within, I think, a couple of days, if not a week. Dude, I can barely write one page in a week. Imagine a 65-page legal document. Isn't that just insane? And four, last but not least, Epic released a video mocking an old Apple ad, which Apple released for their Macintosh, I believe.
Yeah,
which, iconic. And I'll probably put in the link if you guys haven't seen it. It's super iconic, yeah. Which featured a character with an apple on its head and was bitten into a crazy nod to the Apple logo. A couple days later, Apple released that character as an in-game skin.
Fortnite released.
There's going to be a lot of Apple Fortnite going on here. Fortnite released that character in-game, and it was called Bad Apple. Completely crazy, right? So as we see, like, seems like Fortnite
premeditated
and Epic Games completely premeditated and just attacked with everything they had, right? Other companies quickly stepped up and applaud Epic Games for this, such as Spotify. Since you actually cannot pay for Spotify, not many people notice this. It's super not pay for Spotify membership through Apple's App Store. You actually, like, when you're going to try to do membership, it kind of takes you to the web page through website in order to pay for any Spotify things. And that is because of the same so-called Apple.
Yeah, so Spotify doesn't want to give any more money to Apple, but they're doing the same thing to artists on their platform.
Exactly. So Apple, it's the same thing with Amazon Kindle. So you cannot actually purchase books. You cannot actually rent books or anything through the App Store. You have to go to the Amazon website, get it, and it will show up on your phone. That way they can get rid of the 30%.
Sneaky.
Super interesting, right? So far it seems like Apple is the bad guy. But my opinion is that Apple is on the right for this, to be honest. Shocking. I know Apple's right.
Tim Cook, sponsor us.
Before Steve Jobs revolutionized software distribution, developers actually had to pay 50 to 70% in order to distribute their games or softwares, which now confuses me, saying, why is Epic bitching about 30% while they're making $1 billion, and why on Apple, right? Because interestingly enough, other platforms charge exactly 30% as well. This is something that Apple created when Steve Jobs revolutionized this thing. Like, you don't have to go into store and buy these products. You can just get them online and download it, right? And they started charging 30%, and everyone else, such as Xbox, PlayStation, they all jumped in and started charging 30% as well. So why is Epic Games attacking Apple specifically, right? Excuse me. Like, like Xbox right now is charging them 30%, right? Like, I don't understand this. But a quick, very, very interesting, big yike segment. this is a bigger than our usual big yike segment, guys. Right before this episode, I was actually just checking up on the story and see what's going on. And this episode is being recorded a week early, so August 29th, basically. Apple took down the entirety of Epic Games developer account. This is huge. You just understand what that means? Like, this is crazy.
Yeah, like, you can't play Fortnite on Apple products.
Not just Fortnite, yeah. Anything. Because there's, I think, two or three other games that Epic Games has on Apple's store.
Wow.
They're all removed now. They cannot publish any new apps. They cannot publish any software. Wow. They cannot publish anything that has the name Epic Games on it.
Damn, they just bring down the hammer.
Yeah,
it's like millions of devices.
Millions, man. And especially in the United States, Apple products are dominant, right? And I personally think Epic Games just basically shot themselves in the leg with this one, right? Like, oh, look at us being all badass, like going against one of the biggest tech companies. And then Apple was like, all right, you guys can't work with us anymore. See you guys later. You know, like, I don't give a fuck. Like, and that's just crazy. Like,
I mean, from Apple's point of view, like, I'm providing you a platform to distribute your game. I'm providing you a platform to do business. So, yeah, I'm going to be taking a cut just to run the platform, just so that you can run your business.
I don't understand why Epic's bitching about this, man. Like I said, 50 to 70%, meaning like some stores. I think I forgot the name of the store. There's a store before GameStop that did basically the same thing where they sold video games and stuff like that. It was a lot smaller. They charged 70%. You, as a developer, would get that 30%.
Wow.
That is such a big fuck you to developers. You know what I mean? Like, imagine developing a game, a software, and it takes years and years and production, and having to pay up 70% to be on someone's shelf. And now Apple revolutionized this by saying, hey, we can bring that price down to 30%, right, by hosting those products online, but you still give us 30%. It's my goddamn store. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because what are you going to do otherwise? You're going to have to create your own platform to distribute your own game.
Exactly. Which
takes much longer.
Yeah, exactly. Imagine right now, for example, Call of Duty, right? One of the biggest games currently, goes to GameStop and puts their games on the shelf, and it's like, yo, fuck you. All this money that you get out of this, it's mine. Like, no, that's not how it works. I mean, they have people to feed.
To take that one step further, like, imagine Call of Duty not, like, if they didn't want to pay the expense to be on Xbox or PlayStation, they would have to create their own gaming device to play their game.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. So it's like, it's just, you're getting this platform, especially it gets into a sticky situation with free-to-play apps or free-to-play any like apps that are free, right? Because that 30% would come from in-game purchases. So Fortnite thinks they're smart by releasing the game for free, right? Fortnite is free. It's just been known. It's one of the first games that made billions and billions of dollars from a free software.
Without a release, still beta.
Yeah, in beta. And also it's like, and no, it's the interesting part about them is that it's not pay to win either, right? Before that, there used to be games that was like free, but if you pay us money, you get this weapon that's like super deadly and kills everyone, whatever, right? You know what I mean? But Fortnite isn't doing that. Fortnite was completely free to win. You just pay to get like skins, and that just turned into like a clout thing. Like, oh, look at this skin that I have is so much more expensive than the skin you have. You know what I mean?
Followed the CSGO model there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So it gets a little bit sticky there because Fortnite is free. So they're not really charging Fortnite for selling their game. They're charging Fortnite for the product they're selling in their game, you know? And
I see what you're saying.
And it's like, why are you guys doing this? And so I'm just super interested to following up this story, to be honest with you all. I just want to see where it goes from here, because I think they have a court date and everything to bring it up to the judges. And I personally completely support Tim Cook and his sponsorship. Just full disclosure.
His hopeful future sponsorship. Yep.
We're completely backing you, sir.
It would be interesting to see the raw data of how much money they're losing because they are not on the Apple Store anymore. It'd be interesting to see how many devices how many devices that the game was downloaded onto, like how many they just lost because of that action of taking the developer account off of Apple Store.
So I guess it is also interesting from the perspective that Fortnite's getting kind of old now, right? Like, it's been out for like 2-3 years, maybe even.
And then fell off a cliff.
But it's been famous for a while, right? And if you think about it, I don't think their downloads are high right now. No. Matter of fact, if you're a hardcore Fortnite player who plays on their phone 24/7, you've already owned it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think there's any hardcore player that's getting on iPhone right now. And I think their smart move is that they don't care about new players, right? Because of the fact that
new players on Apple.
You don't have to. It's already downloaded on their devices, so that you don't have to actually look for it anymore if it's already on their phone. The weird part is that they did it a week or two before their update, just to create that uproar, right? Like, all those hardcore, again, players on phones, they can't get the new update. They're not allowed to play anymore with the new update. So now they're mad because they have the game. They just can't play the new update. And that's where it gets a little bit sticky. Mm-hmm. With that being said, that was my segment. Any question from you guys?
No, it'd just be interesting to see where they go from here.
Yeah, hopefully I can probably maybe update in the next episode what was the outcome, if there was any by then. But again, it was super interesting to hear yesterday they took down their entire developer account, meaning there was, I think, another game. I forgot the name of the other one, but there was like 2 or 3 games by Epic Games on App Store, and they all got taken down as a big fuck you too.
Hopefully they thought this one all the way through, because otherwise it definitely looks like they shot themselves in the foot.
Yeah, I really hope this was all planned, because if they can't recover from this, they're screwed up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, like I heard about, you know, a little bit about this event, but I didn't know about the developer's account being taken out.
Yeah, that happened.
Like, yeah, that's definitely
yesterday, our time, by the time we were listening, about a week before.
Apple went on destroy mode. I thought it was gonna be Facebook, but
yeah, everyone's going destroy mode. It's funny because they actually called it Apple deployed like a nuclear bomb, or Apple went nuclear or something like that. That's pretty cool. Good job, Apple. I'm proud of you. With that being said, we're gonna switch gears again with some robots and AIs.
Yeah, so I wanted to talk about a recent press release from Boston Dynamics. This happened back in June, in the middle of June. Kind of got swept up under all the big national news and stuff like that. But they debuted the sale of Spot, which is their agile robot. It's a dog-like robot, and so this is now on the market for commercial use, basically. And so to go back on who is Boston Dynamics, they're probably pretty familiar. You're probably like, where have I seen them before? They're the world leader in mobile robots, but they have many viral videos, and that's kind of what makes them popular. They have viral videos of robots doing these kind of crazy things. Like, one of the first ones I pulled up, they had a bunch of robot the spot robots, so the dog-like robots, like pulling a big 18-wheeler. Like, I think there was like 12 of them, all strapped in, Jesus, pulling it like Santa's sleigh. And then there's other ones of like human-like robots. So they all these robots have legs, pretty much. These robots, you know, picking up a box and stuff, and the guy comes in with a hockey stick, hits the box out of his hand, you know, kicks him over and stuff like that. Just all these different things to like knock the robot off of their balance and stuff and see how they recover and make sure that they continue to be on the path of picking up that box or whatever it is that their goal is, basically.
It, Loki, I've seen one of them, and it's like disturbing and depressing at the same time, because they look so realistic, but also like I want to completely say that if those specific robots take over and they start bullying us, I know the reason why. Like, I can totally see
robot
them.
Abuse.
Yeah, they start like pushing us down. It's like, oh, get up, bitch, get up now.
Yeah, no, that's what it was. Well, I mean, okay, so there were some fake videos made that that showed like the robot kind of acting back,
oh, really?
You know, with a gun and stuff like that. And so some of those videos are faked, but it's all off of the hype of Boston Dynamics, like viral videos. Their marketing team just did a fantastic job with marketing their company and their products.
Is Boston, is Boston Dynamics the MIT one?
Quite possibly, because they started in research and development. So that's where all of this originated, is research and robotics. And then they slowly moved to Boston Dynamics.
I wonder if they are. All right, you can continue. I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, and so their goal, basically the goal of this company, is to make robots that go where people can go. Mm-hmm. And so these robots, the defining feature of Boston Dynamic robots is they have legs. And legs, if you look at all the animals and whatnot, those that can traverse tough terrain, all of them have legs. It gives you some sort of balance. So they modeled the robots after that sort of feature. And so these robots, they've made to traverse things like height differences, so stairs, or maybe a rocky surface, you know, like maybe something you would find in like a hiking trail, maybe, or like a catwalk, you know, however many thousand feet up in some sort of sporting venue, stuff like that. They have this software that allows the robots to know about their surroundings and, you know, move and maneuver without somebody controlling it. They don't really say this is artificial intelligence. They call it athletic intelligence of the robot to allow them to like traverse through their environment. And so to this day, Spot is their only commercial robot. And then they have two other robots that are currently in development. And those are for like moving boxes and unloading big pallets. So very industrial type robots. Spot, however, is, I wouldn't say niche, but can be used for like so many different things. Again, this is the first commercial release from them. It's a dog-like robot. It can traverse a ton of tough environments.
Mm-hmm.
I would definitely recommend, I'm going to link a video down in the description of some of the tough environments. Like this thing, I saw it running on a treadmill. You know, it starts at like 5 miles an hour, you know, 10 miles an hour. It's just running like a dog would. Jesus. They bump it up to 30 miles an hour. Oh, and it's just sprinting.
Yeah, he actually did it? Like, is he able to?
Yeah, it was able to keep up. I don't know for how long, but it was like trotting along. It's kind
of
crazy.
Imagine getting chased by one of those.
Can't imagine. So Spot, for them to be able to do this in 2020, they first made Spot available through their early adopter program. This was, you know, probably, I think the program has been in the works for like 5-10 years. But they made Spot available through this program to companies, universities, really whoever that wanted to rent Spot. So I think over 150 companies ended up using this program, and they used it in a bunch of diverse ways. Like one of the ways was, I think at an airport, in Denver International Airport, they used this robot to take pictures of the construction sites to keep track of progress and stuff like that, which heavily increased productivity and reduced like the risk of, what would you say, project setbacks and having have people return back to the site to do stuff.
That's creepy, dude. I wouldn't want to work with a dog, just like robot dog just running back and forth staring at me.
Well, he's just taking pictures of the progress and stuff. I don't know. It depends. Because then what else? You're going to have to pay somebody to do that. You have to pay them hours. You have to give them, you know, benefits and stuff like that. Or you just buy this dog and he goes and takes pictures of stuff. Yeah. Like the same thing you would need a person to do.
Yeah. And they could do it for hours, I'm assuming.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Just like a Tesla, do you know anything about... Yeah, do you know anything about like their battery life?
No, unfortunately. I don't think they disclose any of that unless you talk directly to them.
Interesting.
Yeah. This robot like performed tasks in energy production facilities. It monitored remote hazardous environments like decommissioned nuclear sites. And then another thing, this is all from their press release, but it traversed tough underground terrain with NASA and ended up winning a Sterling Award or something like that. Again, I'll leave that in the description, but this thing has a wide range of applications, right? And so what allows it to do this, it's highly and easily configurable. So you can program this guy to traverse and more or less any environment you wanted to, depending on your workplace. Like one thing that I can, like that comes to mind for me, I don't know why this comes to mind for me, but those people that log like the terrain on Earth and make those maps of like the height differences and stuff. I don't know if I'm explaining that correctly, but they set up and then they set up two different points and cameras are like things pointing at each other. And that has to be very precise. And you have to like go to school for a few years to learn how to do this.
So like the LiDAR.
Yeah, pretty much. I think that's, LiDAR. So imagine like having these robots do that, like extremely precise with very little error. We'd have like really detailed and accurate maps, right?
Right.
Yeah, especially if it could go through, you know, rough terrains, like, you know, it'll be dangerous for, you know, just a normal person doing something like this, because anything could happen. But if, you know, for this robot, if he messes up, it's, you know, it's just a robot, but, you know,
it's an expensive robot. It costs,
yeah, expensive.
How much is it?
It's $74,000.
Oh, cheap, man.
Oh,
that's so cheap. But that's like 2.5 Jeeps, man. That's how I calculate my.
That's how you calculate cheapness. How many Jeeps is that?
How many Jeeps for that dog?
Well, they have three different types. There's an Explorer, that's the one that's 74,000, and then there's the Enterprise and Academic. But in order to get those, you need a quote.
Wow, cool. I mean, we're becoming an enterprise, so let's just call them on.
Well, okay. So I was gonna touch on that too. You can't get one unless like they can confirm that you're gonna use this guy within the user guidelines.
Okay, that's.
I mean, I can't just buy one and then use it to with Ali.
Damn it, man! I was gonna wake undress up every morning with a fucking dog,
just getting up in his face,
backflips and shit.
You know how it does a little tippy toeing?
Oh yeah,
I find that so creepy.
Like the actual robot one that they have that isn't released. I don't think they're gonna release it until like 2024. But it had this entire gymnastics.
I've seen that.
Like you know how Tesla the Tesla car Elon made some sort of thing where it would dance to a certain melody to
the Christmas one.
Yeah. The same way, like this robot had a gymnastic routine and it did flips and stuff like that, and it jumped and did the splits and shit. It was crazy.
Can it do the WAP dance?
You know, I'm sure they could program it. Maybe you should buy one to see.
Hey, I think I could get TikTok famous with that dog. Let's be honest. The dog, I wouldn't do the dance. It's full disclosure, not me.
Yeah, okay.
The dog.
Yes,
Ollie doing the walk dance. Confirmed.
Well, I mean, in relation to us, it does have an API, So we could work with it programmatically. Cool. You could control it via, I think they have the tablet that you can control it with. It has a bunch of different attachments. It has like one for ports. So I'm assuming like you put some sort of, you know, your sensors that make data readings, mm-hmm. measurements and stuff like that. You could like plug Ethernet and then make it upload to a cloud server, like all your data while it's going around collecting data. Say it's taking pictures of that construction place. It's just automatically uploading the pictures so you can view them in real time. Like that sort of stuff is really crazy.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Are you able to mod them? Like, I think I've seen them having, sometimes they have arms.
Yeah, so that would be an example, like the ports. Yeah. I looked on their website. It doesn't look like this specific one has arms. Hold on. It has like a LiDAR. It has something for more awareness. So like a big 360 camera. It does inspection. It has like a CPU and GPU in case you needed to perform tasks on the dog itself. I don't know why you'd need to be doing that, but maybe you have some sort of application that needs to be running alongside the dog.
No, dude, I'm just going to make my dog a computer, like a gaming computer. Let's put some crazy CPU and GPU up in this bitch.
Yeah, seriously. Like,
play Fortnite, play League of Legends.
All right. But yeah, this dog has a ton of capabilities. I mean, you could use it. I know there are robots used for this already, but like search and rescue or some sort of rescue mission in a burning house, stuff like that. I mean, the uses are more or less endless.
Very cool. That's cool.
But yeah, this press release kind of got swept under the rug as a result of 2020 just being an unprecedented year. So I wanted to bring that to light. It's super cool. You've probably seen these viral videos. I'll link a YouTube video that kind of has all of them all wrapped up into one. And I included a fake one so you could see a robot with a gun. Just in case you couldn't sleep at night yet already.
Yeah.
But yeah, that kind of wraps it up for me. Do you guys have anything else? Any questions about that?
No, man, that was a good one.
Yeah.
Good shit.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening to episode 6 of the Tech++ podcast. We're still working on the website. We plan to have it up by the time that you hear this. So after you're done listening to this, head on over to our website. You're going to be able to see all of our previous releases and then some of the stuff we think we're thinking about coming up. So that's techplusplus podcast.com. So techpluspluspodcast.com. Also follow us on social media. We have an Instagram account. It's techplusplus podcast. Again, techpluspluspodcast. On Twitter, we're techplusplus_. Unfortunately, there's a character limit on usernames in Twitter, so we had to roll with that. That's techpluspluspodcast_. And email us with any questions at techplusplus podcast@gmail.com. Again, techpluspluspodcast@gmail.com. And for the Audible link, it's audibletrial.com/techplusplus. So that does it for us. Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you all for listening. Have a good one.
Bye. Have a good day.